Well, as ever, we'll have a brief word of prayer and then we'll hear God's word. Let's pray. Our ever-blessed Lord, we thank thee now for the sowing of the good seed of thy word tonight. And Father, we pray thy blessing may attend it, and we pray that it may truly be fruitful in the lives here. Those, Lord, who are ever already bearing such precious things, we pray they might bear more, and that, Father, our lives might be truly abundant and pregnant with blessing. Those, Father, who as yet brought forth nothing unto thyself, as they have not yet tasted that thou art gracious, we pray be merciful to them tonight, and may thy word lodge deeply in their hearts, we pray. That to examine us, Lord, in the light of thy word, give us a good spiritual examination tonight, a good spiritual medical. Help us to see where we stand before thee, even in the light of how we hear thy word, because we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, we are missing out a few verses we looked at last time on a Sunday evening, because I want us to come in Mark chapter 4 to verses 15 to 20, which is our Lord Jesus Christ's explanation or his interpretation of his famous parable of the sower, which is so important in order to be able to understand all the other parables and how to hear them. And his explanation is as follows. He said, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise, they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60. And some 100. Let's say we're missing out quite a passage, a portion of God's word by coming here now, because last Lord's Day evening we were looking at verses 31 to 35, the last verses of the third chapter of this second gospel, where Mark, remember, was writing to the Gentiles first and foremost, the non-Jews, about the Lord Jesus Christ's two families, his two families or his two households. You remember that, first of all, that he had, sense in which he had a natural or he had a physical family, those who is related to by blood, according to his flesh, according to his human nature. And we considered their identities, who they were his brethren, his brothers. They had, of course, the same mother. They were what we call uterine brothers. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was born of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. But his brethren, or his half-brothers, were born both of Joseph and of Mary after his incarnation, after his birth. And the identity of the other family member that he had at this moment, perhaps Joseph had died. Though he wasn't blood-related to Joseph, possible that Joseph had died by this time, and so the other family mother was, of course, his mother, Mary, which is human, his earthly mother. And also we saw that his natural family, of course, then had natural activities by which they were known. We're looking here at verses 31 and 32 of Mark chapter 3, and their activities was to show a natural concern for his mother, to show a natural concern for him and his brethren, to show a concern for him, especially when people were being rather cruel in their description of him, saying that he was beside himself, that he's becoming mentally imbalanced by the way in which he was behaving, because he was so zealous and fervent in the service of his father. And you remember also the scribes, the way in which They said that he had Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils he was casting out devils. So they heard about this, and they showed a natural concern for him in coming to kind of relieve him and to give him a possibility of rest at this time when he was teaching in a house somewhere, probably in Galilee. So he, on the one hand, he had a natural, a physical family or household. Secondly, though, we saw what overrides that is that he had a spiritual family, the family of the household of faith, those were who were his people. And we saw their identities, who they were, those who were around him immediately, the 12, barring, of course, Judas Iscariot, those who had believed upon his name and were his true disciples, not just outwardly, but also inwardly from their hearts. And the others who were like them at that time, and anybody like them, anybody who were his true people, true believers in him. And their activity, what's the activity of God's people? It's doing his will from their hearts, from a born again, from a regenerate heart, believing the gospel and following Christ and doing the kinds of things that we were looking at this morning. So that was verses 33 to 35 of that chapter. We finished then by saying that our Lord then had two families, one natural with natural identities and activities, and the other was spiritual and had spiritual identities and activities. We can't, of course, belong to the first. From a difference, if you're a Christian here tonight, you belong to the latter. You're part of the Lord Jesus Christ's spiritual family, of the family of the household of faith. He is your brother, God is your father, and you've been adopted into his family, and all Christians are either your brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's a lovely passage there at the end of Mark chapter 3. So now tonight we fast forward a little to these verses in Mark chapter 4, verses 15 to 20. Earlier on in this chapter we have the actual parable of the sower, but in these verses here, we have our Lord's explanation of it, interpretation of it. He is the one who is speaking here directly. And he's speaking here to the 12, we read a bit earlier on in the chapter, not just to the 12, but also those who were about Christ at this time. Probably his, more of his, not his very, very inner circle, just the 12, but another kind of set of people who were true to him, true believers in him. It's probably these that he was explaining, interpreting this parable to. And here he's speaking to them, surely, about the two main ways of hearing God's word, of hearing the message of the kingdom, hearing the gospel, hearing the good news concerning Jesus Christ and him crucified. You say two main ways of hearing God's word? Surely there's more than that. When I've read the parable of the sower in the past, you know, surely there were, the seed was sown by the sower, and it was sown into four different kinds of ground, or four different kinds of soil. And when the Lord Jesus Christ then interprets it in these verses here, in Mark chapter 4 and verses 15 to 20, surely he refers these four different soils to four different kinds of hearts. Surely there are four different ways to hear God's word. Well, I think, when I look at this passage here, really, my dear friends, fundamentally, there is only two main ways to hear God's word. And what you and I need to discover this evening is the way in which, at least so far, we've heard it in the past, and the way in which we hear it this evening, because according to the way in which we hear God's word, it really signifies or shows us whether or not we are Christians, whether or not we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we hear it totally unproductively, in a spiritual sense, my dear friends, then you are an unbeliever. But if you hear it fruitfully, then surely the grace of God and the Spirit of grace is in your heart and in your life. So which of these two main ways that we're going to hear about tonight, which you hear God's word, it'll show you where you stand before God, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you are a true believer. Well, what then are the two main ways of hearing God's word that we appear to have here? Well, let's look first of all at verses 15 to 19. Because first of all, it is very possible, if God doesn't change us, if we don't become Christians, if we don't become believers, to hear it from our youth and to hear it all throughout our lives in an unfruitful way. It doesn't lead anywhere. It's not made profitable to us. It's not spiritually productive in our lives. We're never born again. Hearing God's word never leads to a conversion experience, never leads to repentance, never leads to faith, never leads to receiving God's word, never leads to receiving the fruits of the Spirit of God in our lives, never leads to witness bearing, all these other spiritual fruits that will be, to some degree or another, in the life of the believer. So it's possible, first of all, to hear it in an unfruitful way. Unbelievers do. Ever do. And ever will do until they come to faith in Christ. But then secondly, also, it is possible through God's grace, through the work of His Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, to hear His word fruitfully and even to be abundantly fruitful as Christians. Yes, to begin by being converted, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and following hard after Him and becoming more and more like Him, more and more like God in our lives, being sanctified by His truth, sanctified by His blessed Spirit. Well, let's look at these two ways, two fundamental, two chief or main ways that we may hear God's word. First of all, in verses 15 to 19, our Lord here speaking to the 12 and these others who were there on this occasion, probably privately in a house near to where he had been preaching the actual parable itself, telling them about hearing God's word in an unfruitful manner, as all believers do. Before I look at this tonight, let me ask you, my dear friend, is that how you've always heard God's word? Always heard the message of the King, always heard the gospel? You've always heard it in an unfruitful way. It's never led to spiritual fruitfulness in your life. It's never led to a spiritual experience. It's never led to a conversion experience, receiving the Spirit of God, and so on. The fruits of the Spirit in your life, the fruit of faith and joy and peace and love, and all the fruits that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, I think in verses 22 and 23, and a witness bearing. Is that true? You've always heard God's word in this way. Well, if that's the case, my dear friend, it just shows that at least as yet, you're not a Christian. It marks you out as an unbeliever, even though you might come to church, and even though you might belong to a Christian family, your mother and father may be Christians. If you've heard God's word in this way, in this fashion, in an spiritually unfruitful way, always, even to today, it is shouting at you that you're not yet saved, and you need to be saved, and you need to be saved now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Very well. What does our Lord say about this here in these verses? Well, I think what He does here is that He says to these 12 and these others about a number of reasons why it is that unbelievers do indeed hear God's word in an unfruitful manner. And the first reason is in verse 15, set for some unbelievers. Second reason is in verses 16 and 17 for other unbelievers. And then the third reason is in verses 18 and 19. So why is it that people hear God's word unfruitfully? It's because they're unbelievers. But what are some unbelievers like? How do they hear God's word? Why does it not bring forth fruit in their lives? Well, first of all, verse 15 is heard in this way because some unbelievers hear God's word, and after they've heard it, they forget it immediately. They hear it forgetfully. You go back to the parable of the sower, the actual parable itself, and you have the sower sowing the seed. Some of those seed fell by the wayside, didn't they? There was no penetration of that seed into the ground. And that is why the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, were able to come along and to peck up and to take up the seed, because it hadn't gone into the ground whatsoever. It hadn't taken root at all. And it's like that for some people, some unbelievers. They hear the preaching of the word, But as soon as they've heard it, they forget it immediately because it hasn't even really penetrated their minds and their understandings. And so they don't remember it. And as soon as it's all over, they forget all about it. I wonder if you've heard like this so far in your life. You've heard God's word forgetfully as an unbeliever. And therefore, of course, if that's the case, it's not going to bring forth any fruit, is it? Because it's not penetrated the heart. It's not even penetrated your mind and your understanding and your intellect. It's something that's totally forgotten about. As soon as the message, as soon as the Bible study, as soon as the sermon is over, it's altogether forgotten, out of mind. In one ear, as we say, out the other. Jesus put it like this. He said, "These are they, or the ones, by or along the wayside, by the path, where the word is sown, but when or whenever they have heard or hear, Satan comes straight away, takes away the word or divine message that was sown in their hearts, was attempted to be sown in their hearts." See, the seed didn't take root, and so it's stolen away. The word is preached, doesn't even get into the mind, doesn't even get into the understanding. And as soon as it's over, it's altogether forgotten. And I have a couple of illustrations of this for you. First of all, from the Old Testament scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 30 to 32. God's people were like this in the days of Ezekiel. Listen. God says to Ezekiel, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Seem to be enthusiastic about hearing God's word. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they won't do them." They hear, as soon as they've heard, forgotten all about it, they don't do it, because the words never entered into their minds, let alone their hearts, that it might bring forth fruit. "With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, there went unto them as a very lovely song, of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument, but they hear thy words, but they do them not." They quite like to hear what Ezekiel had to say, but as soon as they'd said it and enjoyed it, they forgot all about it. Didn't bring forth any fruit in their lives. They didn't repent and turn to God. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, in one of his great sayings, towards the end of his sermon upon the mount in Matthew 7, verses 26 to 27, he said these words, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." It'd be like the end of those who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, or read his word, hear sermons about him, Bible studies about him. They hear it and then they forget all about it, do nothing about it whatsoever. Of course, of ourselves, we can't do anything by nature. By God's grace, there is an effect of God's word in our lives. It becomes effectual, doesn't it? And perhaps a bit like Felix, that Roman governor in Acts chapter 24 and verses 24 and 25. We read there, Luke says, "After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, she sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. But then he answered, 'Off you go, Paul, for now. When I've got a convenient season, I will call for you.'" In other words, he trembled just temporarily. But then as soon as Paul had finished, he wanted to forget all about it. He was a forgetful hearer. And that's how it's possible for not all unbelievers, but many unbelievers to hear God's word. They hear it unfruitfully because they hear it forgetfully. They hear, they read the scriptures, and they hear the word in Bible studies and sermons, or they may hear it on the internet, messages and so on. But as soon as it's finished, it goes out of their minds altogether, and they're taken up with something else. They're hearers only, not doers. They don't repent. They don't believe. Well, my dear friend, are you like that? Do you hear God's word in an unfruitful manner because you hear it forgetfully. You're listening to it at the moment, but as soon as it's all finished, I know that believers can sometimes be a little bit like this, and the word can be stolen away from them. But it's always the case with these kinds of unbelievers. They hear, and as soon as it's finished, they turn to something else. They turn to somebody next to them. They talk about something else. They want to forget. They don't want anything to do with this. Anything to do with God, really. They're perhaps here against their will. Don't want anything to do with this word of Jesus Christ, the word of the gospel, Christ and him crucified. They want to forget all about it, obliterate it out of their minds and really out of their lives altogether. You like that, my dear friend? Well, if you are, at least you're not yet a true believer in Christ. You are spiritually fruitless. And you need God to be gracious to you. But another way in which certain unbelievers hear God's word, like this, in verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, it's sometimes heard unfruitfully because some unbelievers hear God's word, hear the gospel, shallowly or superficially. So if you think of the second part of Christ's parable of the sower, the seed is sown, there is a certain degree of penetration, isn't it? But it's not very far. But then it comes up against the rocky ground, the stony ground, and it doesn't go any further. We think there's some unbelievers like this. The word does get so far. Some listen, some retain it in the mind, retain facts about the gospel and the word. Perhaps they do think about and they do perhaps meditate upon it. They do have what we call an intellectual and historical faith. But when it doesn't go any further, it doesn't go to the heart. Doesn't change the life. It is purely intellectual. It is just superficial. It is shallow. And the heart is still unchanged. The heart is still hard and stony. It's not yet been born. You've not yet been born again. It's not a heart of flesh to receive this word and for it to bring forth fruit. Jesus spoke of these people like this. These are the ones which are sown on stony or rocky ground or soil. But whenever they hear the word, immediately, enthusiastically, in the spur of the moment, they receive or accept, embrace the word with gladness or joy. But it's superficial. It's all up here. It's a new thing. Remember when the apostle went to Athens, the people, they always like to hear new things. And they heard Paul readily. But for many of them, it didn't really go to their hearts. It didn't bring about a spiritual change. It didn't lead to a conversion experience. Some are like this. Initially, they embrace it with gladness or joy. But it's all superficial. It's all intellectual. No more than that. No deeper than that. However, they have no root in themselves. And so endure last but for a time or for a short while. But when the testing comes, when affliction, it means all kinds of pressure, mostly from the outside in a non-Christian environment. Persecution comes, actual suffering deliberately brought about by the enemy. And when this arises for the word's sake, because of what they've heard, what they're thinking about, what they're talking about, on account of the word, straight away, they're offended. It means they fall away. Because they were never there in the first place. They were never truly converted. It literally means they're caught by these things. They're ensnared by them, enticed or lured, tempted or trapped by their afflictions and persecutions. It brings them into a snare. So they only hear it shallowly or superficially. That's a bit like these later on in Mark's Gospel. Mark 11, 8-10, first of all. Then chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14. Remember, there were those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when he came into Jerusalem. Many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off the trees. They straw them in Jesus' way. And they went before. And they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, they said to him. Save now. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, they were saying. This person, Jesus of Nazareth, was coming. He'd been doing great things, great miracles, great teaching, great preaching. And he comes now and suddenly they're saying these things. They seem to be believers, don't they? But it's all shallow, it's all superficial. It's all just in the mind, it's not in the heart, it's not evoked a change in the heart. Why is that? Because a little bit later on, in chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, some of these same people, they're crying out again, crucify him. See the change here? Because the pressure's on. They immediately change. My dear friend, this is why sometimes so-called Christians change, sometimes so-called ministers change. They've never really been converted. They've probably just kind of had an intellectual change, or I'll teach about Christianity, seems to be a good idea, or I'll follow those things. But if it's only in the head, my dear friends, people can very quickly have a change of mind. But my dear friends, when the Spirit of God is in your heart, it can't change. You know, it's there forever, isn't it? God does an eternal work. These people, one moment, Hosanna to Jesus, next crucify him. Pilate said to them, what evil has he done? Even Pilate seemed to be sticking up for him. But they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. John speaks about people like this in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 19, about those, they went out from us. Why is that? But they weren't of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They were with us for a little while. They were prepared to listen, prepared to worship with us, be in the same congregation. They appeared to be believers, they appeared to be Christians. But it was all just head knowledge. And as soon as difficulties came off, they went. They weren't of us. What John says, that's why they went out. If they had been of us, they would have stayed. That's very often why people leave. Not always, but why people leave Christian churches. Because they were never truly of us, the family, the household of faith. Well, you might be like that, my dear friend. An unbeliever, always having heard God's unfruitful way, God's word, an unfruitful manner. Because you've always heard it shallowly or superficially. My dear friends, if you've heard it forgetfully in the past, ask God to change you. And to work a work of grace in your heart, if you've always heard it just shallowly or superficially, in your mind, so only reach there, ask God, Lord, use this word to penetrate my soul. Give me the new birth. Grant me the experience of regeneration. That this might really lead to something. This word might have a deep effect upon me. Changing effect, a life-changing, a transforming effect upon me. That I might be justified by faith and then be sanctified by your Spirit. Lord, have mercy upon me that I might not be somebody shallow and superficial, one of your true people. Indeed, somebody who's had a deep work of grace gone on within them. Somebody who has a great faith in you. Well, thirdly, finally, here in verses 18 and 19, he says, are those who hear in this way, some unbelievers are unfruitful. They hear it unfruitfully because they hear God's word in a very distracted way. In other words, these are those who, well, in the parable, we have the sower sowing the seed. And what happens is all the weeds come and the thorns come, the briars come, chokes the seed, chokes the life out of it, and there's no fruit whatsoever. And you do have those who hear God's word. They listen to these things. It's a little bit is taken, a little bit understood. But then because there's no real change of heart, other things begin to crowd in. I know that to a certain degree these things can happen to people who are Christians. We get distracted by things. But this is something that really comes in and there's no fruit born whatsoever. Because of the cares and anxieties of this world. Christ speaks of them like this. There are those who are sown among thorns. They hear, but again the cares, the anxieties. Think about those yesterday. Christians will be careful for nothing. But unbelievers, the cares, the anxieties, the worries. With respect to this world, matters pertaining to the age in which they're living. And the deceitfulness, the delusions, the fantasies, the deceitful glamour of material riches. And the lust, the cravings, the desires, the yearnings of other things of this world, the pleasures of this world, they enter in, force themselves in. They're open to these things. And they choke the word. There's no chance for it, and it becomes unfruitful. In the minor prophet Amos, hear about people like this, chapter 8 and verses 5 and 6, people saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, make an ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Do you think they would bring forth any spiritual fruit? Not a bit of it, because they were distracted by all these worldly things. The world was in their hearts, because they are worldlings. They were unbelievers. Have you heard like this? The word of God has not had a chance. Because really, you've not been changed. You're not godly, like Psalm 1. Godly man, you're the ungodly man, woman, boy or girl. Worldly. Everything, that's all you can think of. It's kind of crowds your mind, crushes the word out as soon as it's spoken. And it doesn't bring forth any fruit whatsoever. Christians can get distracted, but not altogether like this. They do hear, and they do believe, they do bring forth fruit. So that's the unbeliever. Different kinds of unbelievers there, I think, in those verses. And just briefly, before we close, and positively in verse 20, Christ not only spoke to these 12 and these others, but hearing God's word in an unfruitful manner, unbelievers, we mentioned about them themselves, and others like them who were to come, amongst the fold of the Jews, those who are going to believe amongst the fold of the Jews, those who are going to believe amongst the fold of the Gentiles, that those who are going to hear God's word fruitfully, effectually, profitably, spiritually productively. Why is that? Well, he explained, because they hear it in a receptive or responsive way. No room here, of course, for self-glory, self-boasting. Ah, well, I've heard and I have believed, I have become a Christian, and I am bringing forth fruit in my life. It's all through the grace of God. If it had been left to you, my dear friend, you'd still be dead in trespasses and sins on the broad road to destruction. If there's been any fruit at all, it's all of God. All your sin is your own. All good, all grace, any spiritual gift, talent, skill, that is all of God to his glory. But you may become fruitful because you've heard God's word receptively, responsively. God has done a new work of grace in your heart. Instead of being a stony heart, it's been a fleshy heart. And you receive this word. Listen to what Jesus says. There are those, the word is sown on good ground or soil, such as hear God's word, they receive it, they accept it and bring forth, they bear, produce all your spiritual fruit. Like I said, conversion is, the word brings them to the birth, to conversion, experience, repentance and faith. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance in their lives to some degree or another. Witness-bearing and all the other fruits of faith. And the word can bring forth in our lives. And fruit to differing degrees. We're not all the same. God doesn't convert people and we all become clones. We're all different. Some more fruitful, more faithful, more loving, knowing more peace, knowing more joy, more faithful than others. Just like a plant, different plants can bring forth differing degrees of fruit. So can we. Some yield 30-fold, 30 times as much as is sown, some 60, and some 100. We were looking this morning, weren't we, at Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Think of someone like the apostle, compared perhaps to someone like Titus, Timothy, his spiritual sons in the faith. Paul brought forth much fruit, didn't he? Hundredfold. But he attributed all to God's grace, working mightily within him. Titus and Timothy, well, they were fruitful. But no doubt they weren't as fruitful as the Apostle Paul. But they'd heard God's word, and it was bringing forth fruit because they were true believers in Christ. Well, do you hear this word? This precious word, precious the seed, spiritual seed, in a fruitful way, because you've heard it receptively and responsibly. And this word has been thrown out, it's all bounced back. And preachers sometimes say that it's like preaching to a brick wall. And it is like that with the unbeliever. You're preaching to somebody who is spiritually dead. And that word is just bouncing. But I can remember preaching once in a town in South Wales called Llandilo. I lived not far away from there. I went to a church. It's very rare I've had the experience of going to a church. I don't think there was any Christians there whatsoever. I think it was a United Reformed Church. How I got to be invited there, I can't remember. But I did go, and I did preach. Well, it's hard going. And the minister said to me, there's some places you go to, and you need to take the Lord with you, because you're not going to find him there. It's one of those places. The Lord was not there. They were unbelievers. And as I preached, it's like the iron curtain went up, the wall went up. There was no response, no receptivity whatsoever. It was just blank spiritual deadness and death. Well, my dear friends, what unbelievers are like, but believers aren't. They receive this word, and it brings forth much fruit in their lives. That's you tonight? Is that describing you? So you see, my dear friends, it's very important how we hear God's word, because it's really showing you and I where we stand. Do you hear it unfruitfully? You do so because you're an unbeliever. Do you hear it fruitfully? Well, you do that because through grace, the grace of God, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't rest content. Go on bringing forth more fruit. Flourish more and more. As Christians, we should be bringing forth fruit even to our old age, more and more, until at last we reach glory itself, heaven itself, and we give God thanks. This work of grace that he began in our hearts and continued until he came or until he called. Will you stand, my dear friends? Think about it in the light of how you've always read and heard this precious word of God. Amen.